We are in a series called The Supremacy of Christ, and we are in Colossians. So here we are, Colossians chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Could we pray together? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes today, open our hearts today, and Holy Spirit, you're the only real teacher. Would you hide me behind the cross so that we can hear clearly what you want to say today? Please, God, don't let us leave here unchanged. We love you, and we'll give you all the glory for every good thing that happens here. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the title today is The Supremacy of Christ, Living Free from the Carnal Nature. Point one, a traitor in your midst. So The Lord of the Rings is a story about Middle Earth, and there's three books, three movies, and in the middle movie, it's called The Two Towers. Gandalf is the Christ-like figure. He has come back from the dead. He is now Gandalf the White, and he is recruiting help against the growing darkness of Middle Earth. And so he goes to his friend Theoden, who is the king of Rohan, and King Theoden has been completely immobilized. And so he goes in, and evil has paralyzed him and immobilized him, and so he comes in his power and sets him free from the darkness that has a hold of him. And then he puts a sword in his hand, because there's a traitor that has been living inside the camp. It's been his top aide. This guy named Wormtongue, Crema Wormtongue, has been lying to him. And what he doesn't realize, he thinks all along that Wormtongue's on his side. Wormtongue is for him. Wormtongue is actually allied with evil. He's actually allied with the darkness. He is the traitor within. And until Wormtongue is dealt with, Theoden, even though he's a king, even though he's supposed to be a good guy, is completely useless to help in the fight against evil. The traitor in your midst. So, I don't want to shock you, but there is a traitor in your midst. He's got it goes by many different names. Here, he is called the old self or the earthly nature. In Romans chapter 7, he's called sin. Not sins. This is sin in you. Sin singular. 17 and 18. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Paul is describing a conflict that's going on within him, so that he's prevented. The things he wants to do, he's not doing. The things he doesn't want to do, he finds that he is doing. And he's like, it's actually not me. It's actually sin's mastery over me. The carnal nature is another name for this presence. Romans 8, 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It is called the carnal nature. It cannot please God. You can't change it. You can't cast it out. It is part of you. The only solution is to put it to death. It is called the flesh. Here's Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want to do. There is a presence in you that is part of the old nature, the old self, the carnal nature, the flesh, that is allied with darkness. And it is fighting against you. It doesn't know God. It doesn't want God. It says it's called the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there's part of you that mocks God. There's part of you that thinks the Bible is stupid, that thinks spiritual things are stupid. This is part of you. This is the traitor in our midst. There's part of you that is aligned to darkness, and he must be dealt with. So, what does he want? Simple. He wants to rule you. He doesn't care how he rules you. He doesn't care if he rules you through fear, rules you through anger, rules you through lust, rules you through addiction, rules you through pride. He just wants to be in charge. He wants to run your life. We bought a board. I don't think we bought a board game. We got it for Christmas one year, and it's called, here's the name of the board game, I'm the Boss. And this game, we started playing this game, and I'll tell you what, it brought the worst out of all of us, because it's all about you being the boss, and when you're the boss, you're the one that makes deals, but it's all about your own self-interest, so you make deals with people that they get this much, and you get this much, but if somebody else gives you a better offer, you could betray that person and make a new deal, and so everybody's yelling at you at once when you're the boss, and so you get it all settled because you're the boss, and you tell everybody, and you can betray whoever you want to, and then there's a little card that it switches who's the boss. So the people you just betrayed are now the new boss. And you have to, I didn't mean it. I love you. Please deal with me. But you get going and it's screaming and shouting because it's whoever can make the best deal and the quicker deal. And so we're playing one day. It's Alice and I and our three older kids are playing this. And Beth, our youngest at the time, she's probably 8, maybe 10. And she's got a friend over named Hope Niemeyer. And Hope is the gentlest thing on this earth. And they are coming into the kitchen. We're playing at the dining room table, and they're coming into the room as we are screaming at each other. And we see little Hope, and everybody gets quiet. And I say, Hope, would you like to play this game with us? And I'll never forget it. She goes like this. So I started calling the game, I'm the carnal nature. We haven't played it in years. I hope we never play it again. So it turns out that the reason why he's a traitor is because what he does is he wants to call himself your friend. Even though he works for darkness, he wants you to believe that he's your supporter. Now listen to this verse. This is from Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Okay? The Holy Spirit will always tell you the truth. The carnal nature is a deceiver and he's a charmer. Charm is deceitful. To stay in charge, he will tell you anything. He will tell you, it's okay. You're tired. You're wounded. You've been abused. You've been hurt. God understands. Anything to keep his presence and his rule in your life. He could justify anything you do. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs 16, 2. All the ways of a man are pure, seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. He can justify anything that you do. You can make anything seem pure, and what you're doing is fine because of the... But listen, let me tell you about this charmer, this deceiver that kisses you. You know, I'm your friend, I'm your buddy. Keep me going. Don't get mad at me. Just, you know, and he coddles you. until he kills you. This is Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end of that way is death. He is allied with darkness, and he will kill you. The carnal mind, the carnal nature set on the things of this earth and set on the mindset, the mindset on carnal things is eventually going to die. So that's point one. That's not a great thing to know that there's a traitor in our midst. All right, point two is better. Christ's supremacy over the carnal nature. It turns out, only Jesus can defeat the carnal nature. So here's Romans 7, 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So here is how Jesus gained supremacy over the carnal nature. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. It says, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So this section in Romans 5 gives the whole story about the first Adam who sinned, and through that Adam, sin came into the world, and the sin nature came into the world, and death has come into the world through this first Adam. And so everybody has inherited that nature. And so what Jesus did is he came and he took on human flesh, the one who created all things. He created all things visible, all things invisible. Everything that was created by him and created for him. He is supreme over all things. That one took on human flesh. He became like the first Adam for this purpose, that he might come live a perfect life as a human being and die on a cross in our place, not just so that we can be forgiven of our sins, but so that he could kill the old man, the sin nature, the carnal nature, the first Adam. When he rose from the dead, he became the second Adam. It was a start over for the human race. He started a new race. It is a new creation. He is a life-giving spirit. Life there is Zoe. Zoe is the life of God. It's God's eternal life. He started the human race over with a new creation. And so this is how Jesus did this thing. This is how he overcame the carnal nature. He died in our place. So here it is in Colossians 2, 13 through 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He took the sins and the death of the first Adam and of that nature. He took all of the sins that would be done by all of those in the old nature, and he nailed them all to the cross. All of your sins, everything you've done, every angry, fearful, lustful, murderous, wrathful, slander, every single sin that's ever been committed is on that cross. Jesus took it so that you, being dead in sin, dead in this old nature and a slave to it, could now be raised to new life and be part of this new race. It's called the new creation. And this is how desperate our problem was. And this is how huge the solution was and what it required. It's very hard for us to believe, especially strong-willed people, that we can't defeat the carnal nature on our own. Let me tell you how it works. Has anybody ever been at the fair and played that Groundhog Day or mole game? The head pops up. You get a hammer? Whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole. Thank you. So there's all these holes, and you get a hammer, and the mole comes up and whack. But when you whack it, it doesn't go away. It pops up somewhere else. So you whack it there, and that pops up over here. Whack, it pops up over there. And this is the carnal nature. The enemy doesn't care how he's in charge. He just wants to be in charge. So you have got an anger problem. You get rid of your anger, and now you're addicted to something. And then you get rid of the addiction, and now you're filled with anger and wrath. It doesn't matter how he's in charge. He just wants to be in charge. And so your willpower, your New Year's resolution, your I'm going to stop doing this, something else always pops up. I remember when my mom was so addicted to cigarettes, and she was going to get rid of her smoking habit on her own, and she stopped smoking, and she became so crabby. Oh my, the whole family got together with her and said, "Mom, please start smoking again. We can't have this version of you. This is horrible." But it's slippery, let me tell you. So when I got saved through the Baptist Student Union, and I was all in, and I had been all for the world and a big drinker, big partier, big self-promoter, and so now I'm all in for God. So I've got my willpower is God, 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 and so I became absolutely unbearable to be around. I was critical of everybody. I was mad at the church. I was mad at the unbelieving. Everybody's going to hell except for me. I became everybody's judge, and I became really hard to be around. And so, of course, I can't see it at the time. I'm thinking this is what God wants me to do, and I'm trying to be a Christian, and I'm memorizing everything, and I'm just doing it with all in. So my mom sends me to this seminar. It's called The Threat of Fundamentalism. And my Catholic priest is taking me to it. It's me and him are going. Really nice priest, Father McHenry. And so we go to this seminar called The Threat of Fundamentalism, and it's horrible. I mean, Father McHenry is as offended as I am by this. This guy is like, you know, the Bible's fiction, and nobody will read it 100 years from now, and it'll be go away, and it's all about something else. And so we're equally offended, but this guy says one thing that the Holy Spirit took like a knife and just pierced me through. Here's what he said. He said, "Fundamentalists don't have sins. They don't drink anymore, smoke anymore, and they don't swear anymore, and they've got everything cleaned up on the outside, but they still have sin because they think they're better than everybody, they judge everybody, and they're mean." And the Holy Spirit just took a knife and said, "Boop, that's you." See, there were two groups in Jesus' day. One was the Sadducees. The Sadducees were unbelievers. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the afterlife. They just embraced the culture, added a little religion on, and called it a day. The other group was the believers. They were called the Pharisees. They believed all the stuff in the Bible. The word Pharisee means separate ones. They thought they were a little better than everybody else. And Jesus has some words for the Pharisees. Here they are. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." See, you can't overcome your carnal nature, but you can, through a religious spirit, clean up the outside. You can make everybody else think you're a really good Christian. Probably not your spouse, but everybody at church you can. Because you can make everything look good and clean up the outside and make it all look good and we look good. And then your worst fear is that somebody would find out what's really going on in your heart. Because you know the truth. That willpower, no matter how many things you do, it's not going to defeat the carnal nature. To clean the inside of the cup, to really be saved, only Jesus can do it. He's the only one that can clean you. He's the only one that can actually take out and have supremacy over the carnal nature. This is why he came. This is what he did on the cross. And he wants to win through you and through me. All right. So here we go. Point three. How can we live free from the carnal nature? So I'm not usually the acronym type person. Everything sounds the same or goes the same. But I did it this time. So we have A, B, and C, how to defeat the carnal nature. And A is going to start with A, B is going to start with B, and C is going to start with C. So that you can remember, this is how I defeat the carnal nature. Okay, number one, A, acknowledge its presence. You are never going to beat worm tongue until you recognize there's a traitor that lives within me. There's a traitor that lives within me, and he's allied with darkness. You can't change him. You can't cast him out. And you don't want to coddle him. 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This is not sins. This is sin. This is the sin nature. When you walk in the light, you just walk with Jesus, the blood of Jesus will keep the sin nature underneath, and he will have no dominion over you. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, now this is when we haven't walked in the light, we've walked in darkness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So there's groups in Christianity. God bless them. They're very sincere. And they've got verses that they take to use to say this, that believe that Jesus' victory was so great, if you really get saved, if you really get filled with the Spirit, you will no longer have a sin nature. That he so defeats this thing that the sin nature is no longer in you. And so I did my master's at a college that their whole denomination believes this, that if you have this second experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you lose the sin nature. And so the speakers that came to speak to us were different people from that fellowship and that denomination. And so one of their leaders of the whole fellowship comes and he's speaking, I am a pastor from a different group. It's almost all his own pastors. And he says, let me tell you what's wrong with our churches. Here's our biggest problem. We can't sin. We can't sin because we don't have a sin nature anymore. So we can't sin. We can be tempted, but we can't sin anymore. He said, and here's why it's a problem. The biggest need we have as a fellowship is to repent. And we can't repent because we haven't sinned. And everybody was cracking up laughing because these guys that are actually in real life with real churches know the sin nature's still around. And it's not just out there somewhere. It's in each one of us. You're not going to win. You're not going to beat worm tongue unless you acknowledge his presence, that he's there, he's got a voice, and he needs to be defeated. He cannot be cast out. People, I know when people come to Freedom Ministry, they want to get free, okay? And praise God, we can get free from demons and darkness, and Jesus will come in his anointing, and he will free us up. Theoden doesn't even know what he's doing until he gets freed, and then Gandalf gives him back his sword. And he's the one that has to deal with worm tongue. So here's the thing. God can't cast the carnal nature out of you. You're going to have to deal with it. He can cast a demon out of you, but you're going to have to deal with the carnal nature. You're the one that's going to have to take your sword and defeat him. This is by the plan of God. Now, there's a day coming when Jesus comes back. Praise God, we'll be gone. We'll be free from the carnal nature for good. But for now, if you're a computer person, here's a good way to think of it. You had an old hard drive, and on that old hard drive, just because stuff's on the hard drive doesn't mean you need to access it. If you access little, you're going to get little of what's on that hard drive. But if you access a lot, you're going to get a lot. And there's a lot of bad things in the old nature. Christianity, when you come to Christ, you get a new hard drive. But he doesn't take out the old hard drive. Now you can access either hard drive. You can access the new nature. You can access everything God's put in you. You read the Bible and pray and go to church. Like, that's boring. Let me tell you what, it's not boring. It accesses the new nature. And the things of God start rising up in you. And the desires of God and passion for God. And this want to for the Holy Spirit starts rising up when you do the simple disciplines of prayer and reading and church attendance and small group and confession of sin. You tap into the desires of the Spirit that can become strong and make you a great warrior in the kingdom of God. I got way ahead of myself. So here we go. Here's B. B is belief. Romans 5:17. If by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to look at that word reign. So reign, of course, that's the word the kings do. Jesus has conquered, and his victory is so great, he wants us not just to celebrate that he's victorious. He wants to make us, by his grace, victorious as well. He wants us to win. He has done it in two ways, because there's a lot against us. So you don't just have the devil who came to kill, steal, and destroy, and demons that are all over the world, but you have this ally within you. And so we're going to need a lot to overcome this thing. So here's what he gave: the gift of righteousness. You're going to start forgiven. You're going to start cleansed. Righteousness just means you're right with God as a gift. God gives you that gift in Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus Christ, you are right with God. And then I am going to frustrate the enemy by the pouring out the abundance of grace. Grace is God's generosity. He's going to pour out more and more on us so that we can reign in this life. You have got to believe this. You absolutely have to believe. If you believe the lie that the Christian life is a series of defeats where you just sin, confess, defeated, and praise God, one day Jesus is going to take us out of here, then that's the life you're going to have. You've got to believe Jesus wants you to win down here. Why? Because there's a cosmic war going on. Gandalf wants Theoden to help him fight the evil worldwide, and he's stuck. He's immobilized. The very person that should be a friend of Gandalf, a friend that's helping him, is immobilized and doesn't even know how to use his sword. You got to believe this, guys. Jesus wants you to win. He wants you to learn how to use the sword, which is the word of God. He wants you to enforce his victory over the carnal nature. So how do you do this? So I've got a book. It's called The Normal Christian Life. And it's by Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee is in China, was persecuted for 50 years, wrote tons of books, amazing insight. And he talks about the normal Christian life. And here's what he means by the normal Christian life. He said most people have it in their mind that victory in Christianity is for like pastors, missionaries, apostles, or what we would call saints. That the average person doesn't win. The average person that has to go to work and has to do regular life. And he said that's an absolute lie. He said that, but there are two truths that are the center of Christianity. One of them gets you to heaven, and the other one gets you victory in this life. The one that gets you to heaven is a very simple truth, and it's easy to understand it. Here's the simple truth that will get you into heaven. Christ died on that cross for your sins. He took your sins on himself. He took your judgment for sin so that you will go to heaven. What is the judgment day for a believer? You're not going to be judged for your sins. Why? God's your judge. Why wouldn't God judge you for your sins? Because God's already judged you for your sins. He did it on the cross. He stood in your place. He took the wrath of God so that we could be right with God, that we could be forgiven. We could have this gift of righteousness. So that one gets you to heaven. If you'll cling to that one, you'll make it to heaven, okay? But it's not going to get you victory in this life. There is a second truth that's a little harder to grab a hold of that gives you victory. And here's the second truth. You died with Christ. Come again. Your sin nature was on that cross, and you died with Christ. That old nature died. It was killed on that cross. Paul says these words, I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is saying, I was there. Jesus died. He died for me. I died with him. So it's no longer me. It's us. I now live in his resurrection life. I'm part of this new race that lives in union with God. The old race was at enmity with God. God was always against that old race. But this new race is in union with God. And the life I'm living now, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. His death was my death. So I'm dead to being king. I'm dead because being king is actually the carnal nature being king. He's kissing up to you. He'll do anything to protect his rule in your life. But when you own your death, I died with Christ. And now my life, my purpose, my strength, my hope, everything is now in his resurrection life. I identify not just with his death, but I identify with his resurrection. This is the key truth to victory. You have to render yourself dead to sin with Christ. And from that place, you can win. That's a hard truth to understand. It's hard to explain, and I don't think I did a great job, but there it is. Okay, let's get to C. C is choose. So acknowledge its presence, believe, and then C is choose. So here's what my ESV commentary said about this passage in Colossians 3. It says this, a qualitative change of identity has already occurred in the lives of believers. Now, it now only remains for them to bring their behavior into line with their new identity. Read it again. A qualitative change of identity has already occurred in the lives of believers. That's why Paul can say, you have put off the old self. It's in the past. A change is made. You signed up for this. The old self, you have put it off. It's a past event. Then he says, or then this verse, or this quote says, it now only remains for them to bring their behavior into line with their new identity. So the same Paul that says it's a past thing, you have put off your old self, also says, put to death your sin nature. Put to death your earthly nature, as if it's present, as if we need to keep doing this. There is a choice that you and I need to make every day. So, here we go. Choose. Number one, choose not to feed the carnal nature. Romans 6, 10 through 12. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Count yourselves. That means believe. If you're going to win, you're going to have to believe that you win through Christ's death for you. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Okay, this is what Jesus has done. This is who you are. You need to believe it. Now, stop feeding the old man. Stop putting fear, anger, lust, betrayal, suspicion, addiction. Stop it. Stop putting it. That's not who you are anymore. Stop feeding the old man. Well, Pastor Tom, I'm addicted. I don't know how I'd get free. Through Jesus. That's how you're going to get free. But you're not going to get free if you don't throw the porn away. You're not going to get free if you don't throw whatever it is. If it's you're addicted to alcohol, you got to get rid of the alcohol. You got to stop drinking. This is not rocket science. But you're not going to win on your own. You're not going to win by your willpower. You got to take your death and say, I am now alive in Jesus Christ. There's no addiction that he can't set you free from. He died for it. He took it. But you need to enforce his victory. Choose not to feed it. All right, number two, choose not to wear it. So here's Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Turns out that you've got a lot of old clothes, who you were when you were in charge. And it includes your lying, your manipulating, your self-promotion, your self-ambition. It includes your fears and your angers. And these clothes that you've worn all your life, and the Bible says we all have a sin that we're easily thrown into. So we've got favorite outfits. Everybody's got a favorite outfit. It's their sin, their version of sin. And one of them is the religious spirit, where it looks real nice on the outside, but I get to do what I want to because I just put God's name on it. Anyway, so these are all still in your closet. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead and you accepted him as Lord, he didn't move any of those out of your closet. You could still wear them all. Don't wear them. Well, what are we going to wear if we don't wear that? Oh, he's bought new clothes for you. There are new clothes in your closet, brother and sister. And I'll tell you what, they weren't on sale. Jesus paid for these clothes with blood. What's in there? I'll tell you what's in your closet. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, holiness, purity. These are all in your closet. You don't have to pray that they will happen. You don't have to try. You just need to put them on. Put them on. Put them on. Well, Pastor Tom, you know, new clothes, they don't feel comfortable the way my old clothes do. Right. Break them in. You break them in by using them again and again and again, and pretty soon they become comfortable. They become your regular clothes. Now, one of the outfits in there is called patience. I'm just going to give you a hint. Never pray for patience. Never pray for patience, because you're going to be in every line, every car, every traffic jam, and like, God, why? Oh, yeah, I prayed for this, didn't I? Anyway, there are some prayers that I don't pray. Anyway, put them on. When you get up in the morning, what do? You put clothes on. You decide what you're going to wear. That's why I always do my quiet time in the morning. Put on the new man. Put on the new nature. Remind yourself, I am loved by God. I'm favored by God. I am special to God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Father, fill me again today. I want to put you on today. It's funny about those clothes that please the bridegroom. The bridegroom's like, ooh, you look good in that. You look really good in that. Those clothes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you know who else they look good to? The people around you. And it makes them want to know, where'd you get those clothes? Oh, this is Jesus. Yeah, I got these from Jesus. Yeah, him and I are close. Him and I are tight. Choose. You don't feed him. Choose not to feed him. You choose not to feed it. You choose not to wear it. And then finally, you choose to kill it. Here's what Paul says. Put to death your earthly desires. Put them to death. Act. This is aggressive. This is, you are trying to get some sleep, and there is a mosquito buzzing around your head. It is driving you nuts. Here's what you don't do. Mosquitoes are people too. I feel bad for the mosquito. No, no, no. How dare that mosquito? You turn the light on. Where is he? And when you find him, what do? You kill him. You put him to death. These things that are buzzing around, stop coddling them. Get aggressive in your Christianity. Jesus is not going to do it all for you. He's going to cast anything darkness that is trying to control it. He's going to cast that out by his anointing. That's what it means when it says it was freedom that Christ set you free. Christ there is the anointed one. Jesus does something for you you could never do for yourself. He sets you free from darkness. Then it says this. This is Galatians 5:1. Stand firm, therefore, in your freedom and do not become enslaved again to a yoke of bondage. Now you have to do something. You have to take the sword and you got to go after Wormtongue. You got to banish him. You got to get him out. How dare he be in your life? The sword is the word of God. We need to know the word of God. We need to know the truth of the word of God. We need to get familiar with handling it. When Jesus is attacked by the devil, here's what he does. It is written. It is written. It is written. Boom, 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 Satan. We need to be familiar with the word of God, not just in our head, but in our identity, so that it comes out of us, so that we have got the sword. We've got in America right now, we've got a horrible darkness in the land, and a lot of the church has been immobilized. And the sword's not even in our hand. We don't even know how to use the sword. And we go and we cheer for Jesus once a week, but we're living lives defeated. And Jesus is saying this, I want you to win. I want you to win. The normal Christian life is you winning. The normal Christian life is you getting familiar with your sword and not letting Wormtongue have any part of your life or your future or your family's future. Kill it. Get aggressive. Not in your own strength, not in your own willpower, not so that you can say, I'm a better Christian than you. That's all enemy still in control. That's just the religious spirit. I can't do it. Jesus did it for me, and now he's enforcing his victory through me.